My guest today on Piano Jazz is the world-renowned singer Tony Bennett. No one sings the American Songbook like Tony. Frank Sinatra called him the world's greatest singer, and that's just because he is. It's true, you know, Tony. How are you?
Well, there's room for everybody. Really, come on.
How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. It's wonderful to see you here.
You too.
Play with you again.
It's been a while.
Right, thank you.
What's happening in your life?
Well, I'm very fortunate. I'm doing the two things I love to do, which is sing and paint. And it's balanced out so wonderfully, you know. It just keeps me in a creative zone the whole day, you know. I just did an album which won a Grammy with Katie Lang, and she said, "I don't believe this guy. He paints in the daytime and he sings at night."
Well, as long as you don't paint as well at the same time as singing, that's something you haven't tried. Well, I'm dying to hear you sing, needless to say. What can we do together?
Well, I love Johnny Mercer, like I know you love him. Every musician of worth, you know, loves Johnny Mercer. And I'd like to start out with a song he wrote with Jimmy Van Heusen, I Thought About You.
Okay. Shall I give you a little intro just to get things started?
Why not? Let's go to it. I took a trip on a train and I thought about you. I passed a shadowy lane and I thought about you. Two or three cars parked under the stars, a winding stream, the moon shining down on some little town, and with each beam the same old dream. At every stop that we made, I thought about you. But when I pulled down the shade, then I really felt blue.
That's one of the great songs. And I don't know, Johnny Mercer, anything he could write just would turn out perfectly.
Yeah, and he did. Boy, they should really do a movie of his life, a good movie, because he really changed the whole history of American popular music by starting that great company, Capitol Records, and hiring Sinatra and Nelson Riddle and Gordon Jenkins and Nat King Cole and Peggy Lee and so many, you know, singers with quality and music that'll last forever.
That was a great era, wasn't it?
It was. He created it, and it was, and a great story about it. I believe that this is accurate that I heard about him, is his father had a bank in down south, you know, in the greatest town, little town in the south. And the Depression made everybody go broke. And his father felt so bad that he couldn't give the money back to the public. And Johnny Mercer spent his whole life and started and created Capitol Records and went back to Savannah, Georgia, and gave everybody their money back. It's
That's
a great
fantastic.
American story.
He was that kind of a guy.
Fabulous, you know, yeah, really. Great human being.
Well, another composer that I know that you knew, Harold Arlen.
Boy, was he something.
He was one of my favorites.
I can understand that. I remember Alec Wilder saying that he actually preferred him over Gershwin because he had more of a jazz feeling.
Well, he did. And he used to come to the Hickory House, and he sent me up a note. I don't know what I played. I think it was some tune, When the Sun Comes Out, not too well-known tune, and he wrote me a little note, and I was so thrilled. I still have that note.
Isn't that great?
I put it in a frame.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but the song you picked out is maybe my all-time favorite song, Last Night When We Were Young.
Yeah, and there's a great story about this, if I may, I'd like to tell you about that.
Please
I heard
do.
About. Well, this was a song, they used to have these great composers from Cole Porter, Jerome Kern, Johnny Mercer, everybody. They used to have musicales out in Hollywood, and it was beautiful experiences that great musicologists write about what they said and what they did. And I read this, that all of the composers, when Ye Paarberg and Harold Arlen wrote Last Night When We Were Young, they were excited about the song, and they played it for all of the composers. And every single composer, from Gershwin to Cole Porter, and every major composer just said, it's too far out. The song is never going to make it. And yet it's the most precious song for a ballad that's ever been written. And yet every single one of them just said, it wasn't envy, or they weren't being nasty. They were just thinking that it's a great song, he said, but no one will ever buy this song. And here it is, it lasts forever. You know, people like the great master Sinatra, and so many people have recorded it.
Have you recorded it?
I did, yes. I love it. You know, it's a beautiful song.
But they were right, because it is hard. It goes into so many funny places.
I know.
But
it's so well written. You know, Ye Paarberg, Harold told me personally that Ye Paarberg, now he wrote with everybody from Kurt Weill to Gershwin, Ira Gershwin. He wrote, had them write lyrics, all the great composers. But he said, my favorite was Ye Paarberg. He said, the greatest lyric writer that ever lived.
Well, he certainly was fantastic. And the lyric to this song, I used to sit by the hour and listen to Sinatra singing this song. And I would love to hear you sing it.
Well, thank you. Let's take a crack at it and see what happens.
Okay.
Last night, when we were young, love was a star, a song unsung. Life was so new, so real, so bright.
Tony and I were both fans and friends of Alec Wilder, and it seems like every time we get together, we find ourselves talking about him. Here's Tony the first time he was on Piano Jazz in 1990.
The world is old. You just reminded me of something when you said you don't remember when you met me, but Alec Wilder, our great friend, he said, do you remember where we met? And I said, no, I don't. I forget, because, you know, instead of, I thought maybe it was in front of Charlie's Tavern, you know, where all the musicians hang out, or, you know, all over, anywhere. It could have been anywhere, but I don't remember. He said, well, I was in the closet in a studio, and when you were studying with Miriam Spear on 52nd Street, on that great jazz street, he said, and he was hiding out in the closet there in another room, actually, and listening to me.
No
idea. I never knew that he knew me as a student. He never really introduced himself to me. He just had his eye on me and his ear on me.
God, Alec Wilder, he was really a big...
He was a walking monument.
A big force in my life.
Yeah, he was. He loved you, boy. He just adored
amazing
you.
Amazing guy. He was so funny. That's one thing I miss, is every conversation we had, he made some very outrageous or vulgar or witty remark, and that I would just have such a laugh over. And, yeah, you know, I could use more laughs.
I know. It's a big loss.
Yeah, but thank God people are playing his music as much as ever, maybe more even.
Oh, yes. Well, he'll live forever.
I think so. Yes. Well, talking about Alec, do you feel like doing... While We're Young.
Oh, I'd love
Would you like
that.
To do that one?
Yeah, Alex song. Mm-hmm. Songs were made to sing while we're young. Every day is spring while we're young. None can refuse. Time flies too fast. Too dear to lose. season too sweet to last.
Alec is looking over my shoulder. He's tapping me on the shoulder saying, you didn't play the bridge right.
Well, he did that with all his great friends, you know. He was so honest, you know. He really criticized me once because...
He criticized you?
Yeah, well, of course, you know, but he did all his good friends, you know. He really... he mentioned about... there was a plea for peace that he wrote way before John Lennon.
Yeah,
way before, maybe 20 years before John Lennon.
Mm-hmm.
And he had 200 children narrating why they didn't want their fathers to go to war. And he wanted me to record this piece with him with a group of children. And I love the idea. He said, present it to Columbia Records. And, of course, the producers at the time, who are no longer there, they rejected it completely. And he really bawled me out for not having the courage to just go to another label and record it somewhere else and just get it done, because it was more important than being successful on a record label. He was really right. I mean, you know, he was a visionary. He saw 20 years before, you know, that we should really reject war and live with one another instead of fight.
Boy, he introduced me to more books about, you know, pollution and the destroying mm-hmm. of the birds and animals. And
he really was
into that so much.
He was so wonderful. He was such a great teacher beside being a great musician.
Well, he loved you. And when he had that radio show, I know you were a guest on that,
with
weren't
Lunas,
you?
Yes.
With Lunas, yeah. That, I remember he talked a lot about that. He talked about you at different times, you know. Mm. He was such an admirer of,
and I love that,
your singing.
And I just loved it, you know, just one of my favorite moments.
Let's do another song, Tony.
Okay.
How about, let's see, oh, well, you suggested one. Let There Be Love.
Okay.
Let There Be Love. Okay.
Let there be you, and let there be me. Let there be oysters under the sea. Let there be wind and occasional rain. Chili con carne and sparkling champagne. Let there be birds to sing in the trees.
Boy, you're picking all the songs that are so nice, but that you don't hear every day, which is good, of course.
Yeah, there's so many good ones, really. That's the thing that that's my own personal campaign, is that we're such a young country yet. We don't realize how great our tradition is, as young as we are. We don't appreciate tradition like the other countries that I travel into. Like when you go to Japan, Kyoto is so spiritual, and it means so much to their whole fiber and everything about the philosophy of what they do, and all the other countries, Italy and France and England. But, you know, in America, our wealth is really the American song, popular songs from movies and Tin Pan Alley. We made an awful lot of people in the world feel good with our magnificent treasure of composers and performers. But there's something about the American songbook that is just better than Russian folk music or British folk music or Italian folk music. And when that's going to be transcribed over to operas and classical composers and utilizing that wonderful foundation, what a house it'll build.
Well, and of course, all of the jazz world is mm-hmm. incorporated. I mean, you can't
right.
separate the two, really, because...
No, it's America's only art form.
And people ask me, do you think jazz will continue years from now? And I don't see how it cannot
Everybody loves it. You go to any college campus and start singing with a little jazz group, and they just say, "Did you just make that up?" I mean, it makes everybody come alive. Everybody loves it. It'll never die.
Well, I think a lot of people can't understand that you can not have a piece of music in front of you, and you can just. You're giving me an idea. Tony, you think I can do a piano portrait of you? Can I try to do that?
Sure, please.
All right.
Be my guest.
All right. I was thinking that kind of the mercurial and the so many sides to you, you know, the creative painter, the dramatic singer, the lyrical tender person, all those things.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, Baldwin Piano Company, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.